sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Feels good. Oh, I'm sorry, we're recording. Number four, I know you heard this before. Never get high on your own supply. Number five, never sell no crack where you rest at. I don't care if they want an ounce, tell them bounce. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. And for you francophones out there, aka Monsieur Grandpapa B. Okay. As usual, before I start the show, I want to remind you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on January 18, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. Oh, not bad. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's usually the part where, you know, those of you down with Whitey, click off. Just want to, you know, want to hit the stop button. But this ain't the podcast for you. Hey, here we go. Okay, let's, here we go. One, I should point out, midweek episode, so, if you're listening to this during the, doesn't make a difference to you. But, two, today's episode title, which I'm now sure of, is going to be 045-045-45-45. Hey, that flows nice. 045-45-45. When I say 4-5, you say 4-5. 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5, 4-5,
And yeah, no, today's title is just, you know what? I know how I said how this episode was brought to you by the letter F, but if this was Sesame Street, I guess I would say today's numbers is 4 and 5. Why 4 and 5? Because it sounds cool. It sounds cool. This is me being creative, man. I saw we were at episode 45, and instead of going into trying to find some deep lyric that would represent how I feel, I decided to go simple. Not break my head. What's the expression? How do you guys say it in English? Not make it difficult for myself. And I didn't make my life difficult, and I just went with 4 or 5. Now, in terms of lyric, what's funny is it's funny how 10 Crack Commandments won. I was gonna go with "Bounce Back" by what's his name, Big Sean, because there's a verse in there where he says, hold on, it was in my tabs. Oh man, I'm proud of myself, man. There's a verse where he in the track "Bounce Back" where he says, "I'm always a loose temper. You cannot count me. You cannot count to 10. Oh, you cannot count to 10 me. If I lose one, I bounce back like 2-3 did with 4-5. What's beautiful about that line? Okay, wait, it's the whole verse. He says, "See courtrooms and courtside ain't too many, seeing both sides." Oh, nice. Okay, and the rap genius explanation, Big Sean. Oh, verified annotation. Big Sean told himself, he goes, "I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. When I came up with that line, I didn't realize that that's why Jordan picked 45. It only makes total sense now that when he retired 23, he came back with 45. That was like the one up. That never clicked in my head, me neither. And then when it did click in my head, I was like, oh, okay, I'm about to kill him. It just felt good to get that off. I don't know if people did get that or they didn't get that, or if they did, that's tight. Yeah, good for them. Yeah. So what's funny is when I was thinking of 45, I was thinking of any rap verse. And the first one that came to mind is Jay-Z Encore. What's that verse? What does he say? You know what? Instead of, there we go. Oh man, I'm impressed at myself on how my notes are like in front of me today. How he says, he goes, "When I come back like Jordan wearing the 4-5, it ain't to play games with you. It's to aim at you, probably maim you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens." It's funny how it all evolved. What else we got? "We All Die One Day." That's a dope track. Problem with that track is Eminem's verse like kills everyone on "We All Die One Day" lyric. And there's a reference to 4-5 in there. Who is this? Who raps this verse? Man, okay, Google, if you're going to print out the verse, tell me who the fuck says it. Hold on a second. Oh, sorry, my phone activated. Okay, where does he say 4-5? Obi Trax, he says, "Keep this a secret right by the nuts. A 4-5 that'll light niggas up. This 4-5 high make you not give up." Yeah, okay. And 4-5-6 by Kool G Rap. And the last reference I was going to use is "Step Into the World" by KRS-One. What, B-Black? When does KRS-One make reference to 45? Well, actually, he goes, "I'm not saying I'm number one." Oh, I'm sorry, I lied. "I'm number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Brah, 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 brah. And instead, I'm rapping some drug verse by Biggie Smalls. But you know what? Fuck it. It's my podcast. I do as I does. I'm going to be honest with you, man. No, okay. No, this is honest. I'm feeling... Okay, before I get into feelings, let me. I made myself a promise. Less than an hour. This podcast needs to be fucking short because I just had a ham sandwich. That's right, pork. I was very hungry, and made myself a sandwich to calm myself down so I could record this podcast. And my objective is to cook something for myself tonight. See, what happens is I have some chicken that I defrost. This is a lot of description, but fuck it, man. You chose to listen. So I have some chicken in my oven, in my fridge that I chose to defrost, and today's the last day to do it. Like, if I don't cook it, I mean, I guess I could wait till tomorrow. But no. I'm committed. I am going to make a, I'm going to attempt this new recipe called garlic ginger chicken off the Amanda Cooks and Styles. You know what? I'll put that in the show notes. I'm going to, yeah. So I'm laughing at the idea of people go for my show notes and say, "Chicken! Of course this black guy would talk about chicken!" And, yeah, so, sorry. The point is, I need to make this chicken, this garlic ginger chicken. The recipes are all waiting for me, and I'm not eating out like I usually do. And the other thing, too, is I just realized that... The point is, I'm trying to record this podcast and then cook something for myself. I feel like one of those housewives, and of course, I know, shout out to you, house husbands, who do the same, but I'm going to focus on the housewives, right, who work a full day, come home, cook, and help their kids with their homework. Yes, I know fathers do the same shit too, right, but I'm shouting out the housewife, because, all right, I'm shouting out everyone who has the energy to work a full 8-hour workday, come home, cook clean, fuck their husband, and do it again the next day. Except for me, it's I'm coming back from work, recording a podcast, cook, watch my favorite TV show, and go back to sleep. But like this is to me, I'm going through some first world problems right now, right? And initially I wasn't gonna do it because I was hungry, but then you know I was getting ready to make myself an excuse to not cook the way I want to, and I said, you know what, make yourself a ham sandwich. Now the reason why I need to make this a short episode because at some point my stomach, which is very fucking efficient at digesting food, is gonna get rid of the ham sandwich, and then it's gonna nag me like a child. It's gonna nag me, hey. Asshole, we're hungry. What the fuck you doing recording a podcast? All right, you know what? Let me jinx shit. Let me do shit that's going to fuck up this podcast. All right, let's go. Okay, all right. Let me just go into some quick thoughts that I run through some quick thoughts that I jotted down and I feel the need to share with y'all. First one I wrote down, I'm like an OnlyFans account for an acquired taste. What, okay, what triggered this thought? Okay, I think someone on Twitter must have asked the question. Oh, I realize. Okay, so I follow this Twitter account called ML_philosophy, moral philosophy. And I love the question. I don't know if it's a bot or if it's a human being, but all this account does is ask questions. Sometimes deep questions, sometimes questions that I hate, sometimes shit that I don't want to answer, but every once in a while, or I'll post some quote. And this time, it posted this quote that went, sorry, I just raised the volume of my headphones, and ho. I might not like listening to my podcast, but I love the sound of my voice right now. It's like, about to bust it up. Anyway, the quote goes, silence is one of the great art of conversations, which then brought me back to this concept of this podcast, Shut Up Podcast. And it had me thinking about, before I get to the OnlyFans, is I'm realizing, and this is, I know for some of you, this is going to sound sad, but try to keep up. And please don't write in about, oh, that's a sad thing to say, because the attention is not to make you weep. But this podcast is, this podcast is me pretending to speak with someone who has a genuine interest in what I have to say. And it's not that it's not just that they have a genuine interest, is I feel comfortable. I don't feel the need to, okay, all right, like, because my brain does a lot of background work. Like what I'm talking, I'm analyzing the person I'm speaking to. I'm looking for any sight of disinterest, of not being interested. Look, I don't like talking over people. When I have a conversation with people, depending on the people, of course, I guess not everyone. Like if you're a friend, if I consider you a friend, I know what it's like to be heard and understood. So I dedicate everything to hearing what you have to say. Ooh, sorry, this is my bottle of water. Again, the hand gestures, and I'm hitting things. Shout out to Haiti. Shout out to my Haitian jeans, and where I get this bad habit of using my hand. And anyway, yeah. So, yeah. And look, in maybe in my circle of friends, in my circle, the average human being—I was gonna say out of the 8 billion. No, that's not true. In my circle, the average person doesn't have the patience or the interest to actually get to know you. Like they've made their mind about who you are, what you're going to say. They pretend to, they listen. Look, and I'm not trying to say they're bad people. Maybe they are. You know, maybe they are. Maybe, you know, they're my least favorite people. But I'm used on people who want to be heard. They love being heard. Like they love the sound of their voice more than I do. And maybe they feel like, I can't explain it, I don't know. But in the end, when they're speaking to you, they want a summary. They, you know, maybe it's not about you, it's more about them. But the thing is, they're not really interested in what you got to say. That's what I'm trying to get at. Right? And I'm not, they're not really interested in what I'm trying to say. And that's just been my circle. That's what I'm used to. And I make it worse by by hanging out, talking to people, making friends, I'm quote unquote friends because they're not really friends, but making friends or associating with people who pretty much I'm used to that behavior. So I will engage with people who will continue that behavior. Now I want to be, yeah, okay. I don't know who's listening to this. This is really one of those, if you know, you know, type of situations. My intention is not to diss people or whatever. Who knows? Maybe some people know what I'm talking about, right? But if you're like the introvert type, the people who look for deep meaning, you don't like small talk. Well, depending who you're doing small talk with, but you like, holy shit. I'm defending the idea, the fact that this podcast is me pretending to speak to someone or an entity or whatever, this microphone. And like there's a genuine interest to what I have to say, because then I can't make excuses about the fact that I didn't get the chance to say what I wanted to say. Maybe I won't get heard, but what's important is developing that muscle that allows me to spit it out. I don't know if I do this on the podcast, but I know I do that with people is, you know when Obama speaks, when he does his speeches, and you can tell that he's careful about what he's saying? I do that way more, exponentially more. He does that in a speech, and he has to, you know, when he was president of the United States, you know, them crackers were on his ass. They were waiting for him to fuck up. But I was just listening to him speak and thinking about how I do that exponentially. And I remember a classmate catching that on me and says, man, just talk, dude, just talk. And which is easy for him to say because no, you know what? I appreciate he did that, but what he doesn't understand is what goes through my mind when I try to talk. Okay, what time? Okay, B, focus on the time, B. All right, okay. So yeah, so getting back to my original idea is, again, this is me trying to define what I'm doing with this podcast, what the purpose of this podcast is, and I was just thinking about the people on OnlyFans, okay, the women on OnlyFans specifically, who've created an account for themselves, not just, yeah, created them, who take pictures of themselves, you know, risque pictures or whatnot, and share it online. Maybe they, you know, they're not getting people to pay for it, but they put it out there online, right? Making themselves vulnerable. Yeah, sure, some asshole is going to watch it and misunderstand the concept and might diss them for it, you know, and might use it as a reason to ridicule them. But for them, they know why they're doing it. They're like, fuck this world, man. I'm not letting this world silence me. I'm expressing myself. And if there's any fans out there, holler at me. Holler at me, man. So, yeah. Again, another reminder how this podcast is like my OnlyFans page. Okay. I don't know if I should mention, tomorrow I'm going back into the office to work. And I'm feeling a bit of anxiety about it. You know, that's a different conversation. That's another conversation I'll have about, who knows, on the next episode I'll talk to you about, you know, I had to beat up some punk-ass white boy or white chick. Likely a white boy for saying the wrong things. I don't know. But I'm just feeling anxiety about, I won't lie, I'm feeling a little bit like the first day of school. There is that excitement. There's a little bit of that excitement. But now that I'm 48, you know, motherfuckers just disappoint me. I'm also feeling that anxiety of being in a room surrounded by people. Now, I complain a lot about white people, right? I was going to say surrounded by white people. But the truth is, people give me anxiety. White people are just the people. People in general give me anxiety. White people are just the, how do I say this? It's just what I'm used to. It's just easy to be like, yeah, white folks, to point out our white folks. But overall, people in general give me anxiety. And I, like 9 times out of 10, I walk through this world feeling like I'm incompatible. Like I'm in their world. I walk this world feeling like I'm in everyone else's world and getting out their way, or if you need me to interact, then I'll interact, and whatever, man. And then walking through their world, rushing to get home. That's my life right now. Okay. All right. Okay. I wrote this down. Moment this week that had me wish I was like everyone else. And this is probably in connection to this podcast. Okay. What happened this week is I was emailing someone for some information. I had this task that I needed to do. And the person, I was replacing someone. And, you know, I had my little notes. But a lot of my notes and a lot of everyone was saying, yo, if you get lost, or the main tycoon to this person, the main tycoon, the person the initiator of this task, of this big task, is this person. And I remember just, like, I'm trying to get into this habit of, if I don't know, just fucking ask, stop hailing, whatever, right? So I sent an email to this person asking her a specific question. And this chick comes back with a message that was the equivalent of a polite RTFM. Read the fucking manual. Or a polite Google is your friend. You know, that those kind of responses. Now, the thing is, one, Google doesn't index this information. So, yeah, I really wish this chick knew that. How much, like if she went for my Google search, I Googled the shit out of Google. I'm on Wikipedia. I'm an information finder, whatever. Like, if I don't have to talk to a fucking human being to get information, I will do that. Like, I kind of wish this person knew how much. Look, if I sent you this email asking you this question, I want you to know that I did every possible thing, including procrastination, every possible thing before having the fucking contact you. So she responds with that. And I was pissed. Pissed. And not just pissed, but I mean, I was pissed, but it sent me, if you know me, like, okay, I know myself, how I go through these thought patterns, right? Like, it starts with being pissed and it ended with me going back to my childhood. Going back to my childhood and remembering all those times where I wish I was like everyone else. Wish like I was everyone else. Because in her mind, she felt like, hey, there's general information, whatever. Well, okay, I should also add that she wasn't aware that she fucked up. The reason why I was asking her these questions is because the test that I needed to do, she assigned it to the person who I'm replacing, which is why I didn't have a lot of the information. So she was speaking to me like it was assigned to me, but you know, there wasn't that connection. All I know is I'm reading a fucking message from this bitch talking about, hey, you know, all this information is available. Why are you asking me? And compared with, and she's looking at me as someone who's like, fuck, another person who wants to fish and doesn't want to learn how to fucking fish. One of those bullshit, whatever, right? And anyway, I was just pissed and it just sent me down this downward, like, you know, when you're mad, if you're like, if you're someone like me, sensitive type like me, you analyze your feelings. You can see yourself getting angry and then understanding why you feel the way I felt. Now, the average person, I say the average person because I'm not like everyone else, the average person would have probably dusted off or would have probably said, you know, hey, look, bitch, you know, explain the situation, the reason I'm whatever. Anyway, I was irrationally angry. It must have been bad enough that my coworker picked up on it. And he says, you know what, let me answer her. Let me respond to her. And I love his version of the email was, oh, wow, that's exactly what I said, what I would have said, but I would have added curse word. I would have put some curse word, made reference to her mama, and probably show a picture, an address of her home, telling her, bitch, I know where you live. Anyways, yeah, again, irrationally angry. Like, I needed to calm myself down. Shout out to the emotional types out there who understand what I'm going through, who navigate through this world trying to convince people that we're normal. Like, we show you one thing, but what's going on the inside is, oh, a volcano erupted. So anyway, piss. Finally, I calmed myself down, but it had me thinking about how, because that's what part of what made me angry. It just took me back of those memories of every time I wish I was like everyone else. Like, I've been in situation, I've been in situations, like, I know people who are like, this is logical. Because it's logical to me, it should be logical to you. Like, I have this habit of doing things differently from other people. Seeing things just differently. To the point my behavior sometimes doesn't make sense. Look, man, if you're impatient, we're not going to get along. If you're the impatient type, yeah, you're just going to get pissed off. You need sometimes, if you're those people who like, hey, look, I need you to do shit in a way, in order for me to feel safe, I need you to behave, do things the way that makes sense to me. Yeah, we're not going to get along. I tell you that right now. Yeah, patience. Like, if in order for us to be friends, we basically, you need to show me the same amount of patience that I show to you. Because a lot of people don't understand that their shit stinks too. But anyways, yeah, it took me back to all those time where I wish I was like everyone else. I wish I could read books. Like, I wish I didn't have to use audiobooks. I wish when I tell someone I read a book, I don't have to say, okay, when I say read, I really mean audiobook. I wish that punctuality wasn't an issue for me. I wish I could do things that would make motherfuckers like them be like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know what it is? It's okay. What I'm realizing is I'm an acquired taste, just like this podcast. And I need to be very selective about close people and who I allow to piss me off. So with this lady, I just needed to accept that, you know, bitches gonna be bitches. When I say assholes gonna be assholes, motherfuckers gonna be assholes. There are assholes out there. And just deal with it, right? And I should say that I finally got, after I calmed down, I finally got back to her, and I didn't tell her to go fuck herself, but I pretty much explained, hey, look, this is my first time doing this task. My bad for all the for the dumb questions, but I'm still figuring this shit out. I appreciate your patience. I understand what you mean about blah, 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 blah. Like, I was really kind. I pretty much just articulated how you ended up with what you believe to be a dumb question. And she responded with, oh, my bad, even though I wanted to choke the shit out of this person. But anyways, getting back to wishing how I was like everyone. So I guess my real friends, as I'm currently my real friends are the ones who don't make me feel like, I wish like I wasn't like everyone else. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I mean, I might need to write this thing down, but I just need, look, I can elaborate. So I have a, and I mean friend, really friend. I have a friend who, by the street definition of a friend, and I think this is what inspired me to be, this is how she inspired me to be my real self. She has ADHD, this person, right? And she tells me how she struggles. I don't think I have ADHD, but I'm maybe ADD or something. Like, okay, look. Difference between me and her is she knows how her brain's fucked up. I'm still figuring out what the fuck, you know, what makes my brain fucked up. Now, she has ADHD. There's a lot of things. Her brain works differently from us, from you normal folks. From everyone else, all right? And seeing her deal with her ADHD is inspiring. One, because she's getting through it, but it also inspires me to be patient with yourself. Stop wishing you were like everyone else, all right? You just process information differently. You just got to go about things differently and deal with the motherfuckers out there who are like, why can't you understand? Or why can't you, you know, who are just destined to misunderstand you. You know, it's like I just got to accept some people are just not going to get it. I have another associate. I'm not going to call him a friend, but an associate who, how was I trying? What was the discussion? He's got a habit of, how do you not know what this word means? How do you not know, blah, blah. Why do you do it this way? Like, you know, very critical when you don't do shit in a way that he's convinced is normal or logical to everyone else. Like, you know what? It's not, I don't only have one friend. I don't only know one person. I know several people like that. My crime is I keep associating with these people because in my because they remind me of the familiar. See, I grew up in a household where, you know, throwing the Christian thing, like there's only one right way to do something. Like, I had a relative get angry at me because I put the coat hanger. I don't know how you put your coat hanger, like, you know, the hook facing one way. Okay, you know what? Okay, hold on. Let me be careful, because I am one of those people who are critical of people who take toothpaste and don't squeeze from the bottom and squeeze from the middle. Granted, I don't shame people for it, but yeah, okay, it is my, you know, it's not even the same fucking thing. Fuck that. I'm talking, that's a relationship thing. I'm just talking about, why are you driving a Honda, should drive a Toyota. You know, it's just like ridiculous can't let things just be. Anyways, I'm just, okay. This moment of wishing, where I was remembering all those times I wish like I was everyone else, just reminded me of, fuck, I'm blanking out. Just reminded me of how I need to put a better effort in who I call friends. Right, getting back to my friend with ADHD. Simple task to the rest of us, I'll say to the rest of us because I don't have it, right, is like climbing Mount Everest for them. But they have to figure, like, they have to take it upon themselves to do the therapy, to do whatever it takes. Now, like, one of them is can't be on time for shit. Honestly, can't be. Like, she got to put in a lot of work just to be on time at something. And, you know, if you're one of those people who are, like, who take it personally when someone shows up on time, then you guys aren't compatible for each other. But it's just, it's amazing, like, these small tasks, these small things. You know what? Not just that. I'm thinking about, and I'm going to get to that, trans people. Trans person will look at you and be like, hey, you know how you feel inner peace at the moment? I don't feel that unless I can express myself as this gender. You know, like, I guess my heart goes out to the people of the world who we just don't fit in. We got to make our own world. We got to, like, in order to, yo, it's the equivalent of wearing glasses. I wear glasses. If you've seen the logo, you see I wear glasses, right? It's the equivalent of wearing glasses. I wish I didn't have to wear glasses. I would do the laser eye surgery, but I'm paranoid, you know what I mean? I don't trust no whack man putting lasers in my eyes, you know what I mean? I always have this feeling of them putting on the laser and then hearing the word, oops, oh shit. And next thing you know, I'm as blind as Stevie Wonder. Anyway, whatever. It's like wearing glasses. Look, okay, I might have to write this down because I'm not feeling like I'm making the point that I'm trying to make, but I'm just trying to say that someone pissed me off and it sent me in a whole bunch of thoughts about, like, I stopped doing it, about wishing like I was everyone, like everyone else. I stopped doing that because that shit is fucking unhealthy. Now I'm just trying to embrace who I am and work with it and tell the world to go fuck themselves if you don't like it. But, man, shout out to everyone who understands what I'm talking about, man. I guess I'm just going to end it with this segment with shout out to those of you who understand what I'm talking about. All right, 32 minutes of B-Black. What else do I have? I hate diet culture like a motherfucker. Motherfucker. These are all personal thoughts, then I'm going to get into brief news. Okay, I hate diet culture. Now, how do you define diet culture? I don't know. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I signed up for some. Hold on a second. Excuse me. I signed up for diet culture. Harrison defines diet culture as a belief system that worships thinness and equates it to health and moral virtue. Yep. Promotes weight loss and maintaining a low weight as a way to elevate social status and demonizes certain foods and eating styles while elevating others. Anyway, look, okay. I don't know if I'm going to promote this company because a part of me wants to quit, but I just signed up for some nutrition program. A friend of mine swears by it, and I don't know. The reason I'm thinking of diet culture is because I'm reading the fucking literature and it was pissing me off, saying shit like, "Oh, you want to look slim? You want to change your body and stuff like that." Yo, I've lost interest in all that shit. Young me wanted to lose weight because, you know, I thought it was, you know, make me more attractive to the opposite sex. Now, fuck that. I don't want to be attractive to anyone, especially annoying people. So it's not about, I don't actually care about my weight. But what I do care is the fact that I'm taking meds to control my blood pressure. I'm on a CPAP machine. I don't know if you know what it is. Like, I have sleep apnea. and apparently that has to do with being a fat motherfucker. Today I had to go to this ultrasound for my heart. And it's interesting how I had mixed feelings. I'm doing this ultrasound, right? And I'm looking at the screen. I can see my heart beating as the technician slash nurse, whatever, I'm not sure what their name is, whatever, is you know, doing her measurements and stuff like that. And I'm staring at my heart. And on one end, I'm looking at that poor guy working his ass off because he looked like he was struggling. I don't know if that's a regular heartbeat, but from my perspective, that motherfucker looked like he was struggling. But motherfucker, I'm talking about my heart. And on one end, I'm like, damn, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, man. I'm probably making life difficult for you with this bucket of KFC and all this salt and shit like that. I really need to put an effort to making your life easier or making your job easier. And then I was thinking about, you know, I was happy with myself that I joined this nutritional program. And then a second thought kicked in. I was like, and I'm going to go to hell for this. And you know, I'm likely going to regret the next word I'm about to say. But this is me speaking to someone who genuinely has an interest. Anyway, yeah, this is me keeping it real. But I was looking at that motherfucker and I was saying, you know what? If you were to call it quits, if you were to stop right now, I wouldn't have to worry about going back to work. I wouldn't have to worry about what I'm going to eat later. What bullshit thing Elon Musk said on the news about the fucking all the shitty shit going on in the world, the meaning of life and all that shit. If you were to stop what you're doing, I'd be able to take a break from this thing we call life. Now, I'm not saying take a break. I'm saying stop. And I'm staring at my heart going, realizing that I'm blaming this poor guy for all my ills in life, right? And I think that, what did I write? What the actual, it's like, I'm looking at my heart as the source of all my problems. I got to say shout out to my heart. Keep doing what you're doing. If you do quit, you know, try to do it in a way that's not so painful to the organization. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, probably during my sleep. I don't know. Not cardiac arrest, but, you know. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm a guy getting older, struggling with the acceptance that, you know, one day I'm going to kick the bucket. Anyways, here we are. All right. I hate diet culture. They sent me a thing to fill out, a form to fill out. You know what's funny is how I'm eating a whole bunch of shitty food because once I'm, I don't know what this program's going to be like. I'm told that they're not like everyone else. Like, it's not going to be a bunch of, hey, stop eating steak, stop eating this. I'm told it's really like an intelligent program. It's like, no, we get to know you and we'll figure out what your 1%, increase is. Like, we'll put you on a pattern where you'll make changes that you can manage. And we'll just help you stay consistent with those changes till you make progress. All right, okay. 37. Okay, fuck, I could talk a lot, man. Fuck, okay, you know what? You know when I first made my my list of programs, the shit I was going to talk about, I told myself four things, and now I'm like, fuck it. All right, okay, all right. Four things, and here I am. Oh, man. Sorry, I'm pissed. I forgot to do ever. Okay, you know what? Okay. What I spoke about earlier were personal thoughts. Now we're talking about random thoughts. And by random thoughts, I kind of mean shit that's in the news, articles that I read. That's really what I'm trying to say. My thoughts on the article. All right? Okay. Shout out to DJ Red October. Oh my God, Red Octopus. Okay, and that's the last time I'm going to shout out homeboy because I'm realizing he's not my DJ, but I love his name and I kind of wish, I think I need a DJ. And to shout out all the time. But yeah, man, that beat I just played was by Red Octopus. Now I don't know why I'm shouting him out. Motherfucker made me pay for it. It's funny, he gave me this beat. I paid for it. Anyways, okay. I mean, it's a dope ass beat. I got I'm just giving him props. Okay, all right. Yes, I did read this article. Okay, here's what's going on. I'm not going to read the article. I'm just going to the articles in the show notes, and I'm going to speak to you like you read the article. All right. And the title is Questlove Partners with Pfizer to Encourage People to Get Smarter About COVID. Now, this piece was inspiring for me because, hold on a second. Does he speak? Does he have a clip where he needs to speak? Hold on. Nope, he doesn't speak. Okay. Where was I? Yeah. I just thought it was encouraging because I was like a lot of, I guess shout out to the black guy who tips because they take this COVID shit seriously. But maybe it's my barbershop. Maybe it's the whatever, right? But there's a lot of like covert anti-vaxxers in there. Like they'll tell you, no, I'll wear a mask. They'll tell you how they're down with whatever, you know, because they don't want to be treated like anti-vaxxers. Like, come on, I don't want to look like someone who doesn't trust science. But they will say shit. But, you know, I'm not saying I agree, but Trump has some interesting points, you know, and bullshit like that. Like, they'll just say, anyway, I just thought it was encouraging. And from what I understand, what inspired, I don't know if it's one of the things, Questlove in the article, is an interaction between Lupe Fiasco and some dude called Chris Webby. Is Chris Webby a rapper? Oh, yeah, fellow rapper Chris Webby. Fuck that nigga. Apparently, these two were going back and forth online arguing about COVID. Chris Webby is like, I guess, a COVID denier. He's an idiot. And Lupe Fiasco was just trying to drop science about that shit. And all Questlove is trying to do is, you know, drop some science. Look, I just was encouraged by the title of this article. Right. Okay, now I want to be clear that I don't shame you for being vaccine hesitant. Don't get me wrong. Not at all. Not that. It's the motherfuckers who look at me like I'm the idiot. You trust the government to give you this vaccine? Like, those motherfuckers. Like, they have a point to make. Like, hate these motherfuckers. Yo, Diamond and Silk. Did I talk about that in the last episode? Someone needs to take Silk's account away because I think she's grieving her sister and she's saying a lot of bullshit. She's saying a lot of bullshit that's helping her gain some money. But yeah, Diamond and Silk, big anti-Trump supporters, COVID deniers. Anyways, the sister, Diamond, died from COVID. You know what I mean? Them motherfuckers. You know, motherfuckers who are like COVID doesn't exist and then die from that shit. You know what I mean? And stuff. Yeah, there's the people who don't die from it and there's people who aren't affected by it. And as a result, because they're not affected by it, COVID doesn't exist. I hate you. I hate those people, all right? That's all I'm trying to say. That's the only reason why I brought up this Questlove and spending more time speaking about it. All right, next article. Again, be black. Come on, man. Don't spend a lot of time speaking about it, but this title got my attention. This former McGill student exec uses OnlyFans to pay her bills and wants to demystify sex work. 3 points I wrote down about the article is, this poor woman, of course, like, so goes to McGill and has an OnlyFans page. She's a student and whatever. And it had me thinking about what's the equivalent for men? Like, a woman will get judged for, she'll have her OnlyFans page, so it's a reason to not take it seriously. So I guess for men, it's like, oh man, you're being a bitch ass nigga. That's what we get judged for, but that's another, whatever, okay. Homegirl makes $4,000 a month off her OnlyFans. $4,000 a month. If I could make $4,000 a month off this podcast, I would, I guess I would continue to work. No. I would be, take this job and shove it, that's for sure. But that's impressive. Actually, when I was thinking about this podcast, one of the themes that I was looking to take on is sex work. Not that I'm a sex worker, but, you know, to demystify it, you know, it's I don't like the idea of these women being treated like, I don't know, outcasts, you know? Now, Here's the thing about sex work. Like, I was so determined to do it, but I don't know. Literally, lately, I think it might have been a post that I read off a feminist page, but it just had me thinking about, it's cool. Like, I get, like, you know, power to the women who work in the sex work industry. But this article had me thinking about the women in the sex working industry who do it because they're obligated to do it. They feel obligated. To them, it's not, I'm not trying to be empowerment. I'm not trying to make a point about it. I got fucking bills to pay. And my resume sucks. Like, I feel for them. Like, and they're being brutalized. They have no, like I hope, like, I kind of like the idea of her demystifying this McGill student. You know what? Hold on. Her name is, let me talk about her. Her name is, by the way, she's fine. And I'm not just saying that because she's curvy. Her name is Carlita DeKay. Outside of the cool. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. It's not uncommon for students to pick up side hustles on the way. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, here we go. Unless that is 23-year-old. Wow. The fuck am I doing with my life? 23-year-old McGill University student Carla Hizel Kubala. You know what? Check this out. There's a reason why I listened to the article.
This former McGill student exec uses OnlyFans to pay her bills and wants to demystify sex work. Uh-huh. It's not uncommon for students to pick up side hustles as they work their way through university.
Okay.
But it's also not every day that you meet a student society vice president who moonlights as an open and proud sex worker, unless that is, you've met 23-year-old McGill University student Carla Hizel Kubala.
Wow. Wow. Anyways, you know, articles in the show notes, you can read it. I like the idea of demystifying, because I agree with it. You know, I'm an ally to the movement of demystifying it, of sex work. And I kind of hope we could get to a point in time where politicians take this shit seriously. Like, you know, right now they're on the outskirts, so they don't have that safety. They don't have, like, and all that shit. I'm just, yeah, man, power to her. I'm just going to end this segment with power to her. And here's hoping for a brighter future for the men and women in the sex work industry. All right. Okay. I might save this for next. I don't know, man. But I'm debating on whether to speak about Megan Hall. Who's Megan Hall, you may ask? Okay. Well, right now, this lady is like a punchline on the internet. Because apparently the headline goes, five officer fired as sex scandal roils Tennessee Police Department, an investigation found that officer participated in a girls gone wild party, type parties, heavy drinking and having sex while on duty. Three others were suspended without pay. Because, you know, every joke has been made, mostly bad. I'm not gonna lie, like, you know, there's some funny jokes out there. But a lot of bad jokes are being made. But someone made a point that I don't know why I didn't think about it, is it's interesting how the motherfucker who killed, what's his name? I want to get his name right. Castile. God damn it. Castile, shot by police. Philando Castile. My brain doesn't work that well. Yeah, Philando. The motherfucker who killed him. Basically, cops can get away with killing another human being. Talking about my life was threatened. But sex scandal? Nah, we draw the line on that shit. Nah, fuck that. What y'all doing? Fucking. You know what I mean? When we say fuck the police, we don't mean fucking each other. Ah, man, I just fucked up that punchline. There's a joke in there, I just can't find it. Shout out to anyone who's made a funny joke from fuck the police and all these police fucking each other. Anyway, yeah, and it's fucked up, man. It's that's the world we live in, man. this scandal happens, and that's what it takes to get police fired. For them to be in the middle of a sexual scandal. I mean, I was debating again. I might talk about Megan Hall, but then, you know, But then again, what am I going to say that everyone hasn't said already? Okay. All right. I'm going to end today's segment with the subject line is transgender tycoon. And her name is, and as I pronounce to say it, okay, and it's a piece that I read off Metro Weekly about the queen of Miss Universe. Here's how the queen of Miss Universe got on my radar. Her name is Anne. Je suis pas en français. If, si c'est en français, son nom, je l'aurais prononcé Jacra Jutatip. Okay, so in English, it's Jacra Jutatip. I think I got it right. Anne Jacra Jutatip. She got a middle name, but I'm not going to probably pronounce that. But anyways, yeah, man. Oh, where I'm going. Yeah, okay. Meet the queen of Miss Universe. And Jacapon Jacra Jutatip is one of the new owners of Miss Universe. She's a billionaire, a mother of two, and transgender. Man, I read this story. This fucking thing is incredible. This is an incredible human being. So much, literally, difficult to believe. Like, she's a billionaire. Like, okay, I won't lie. If this was a story about a white man, I'd be like, okay, yeah, okay, he made his billions, I don't know, in real estate, he made his billions doing online shit. But because it's a transgender Asian woman, I'm like, what you mean you didn't do that selling drugs? What you mean, you know, it's incredible. Like, she's not, when, I guess, I've just grown up putting people in boxes, especially people who aren't white, and it's just, the story is just fucking incredible. And I mean, like, you know, it's like Forbes ain't got shit on this woman. Okay. What makes it incredible is, so what happened is, I guess, okay, how she got on my radar, there's some video going around Twitter of a transgender woman speaking at Miss Universe. And of course, the fucking idiots on the internet took it as, oh, she was the winner of Miss Universe. And there's this one video, I don't know the name of the person. She's unworthy of me remembering her name. And she's just making fun of her. Basically, she has the caption of, fucking liberals are fucking up Miss Universe. Or, say something transphobic. It's a transphobic caption. And when you listen to the video, this white bitch is making fun of the way she's pronouncing shit in English. But doesn't matter, right? So that pissed me off, of course. I had to make shit worse by reading the comment section. And of course, it's filled. One dude wrote some stupid shit like, women need to stand together and decide what it means to be a woman. Let me tell you. And dudes like that, what they mean by what it means to be a woman is, look, fit in our fucking definition of what it means to be a woman. Look, if I can't get a boner off you, then you're not a woman. You know what I mean? That's like dumb motherfuckers. So, yeah, so later I find out that the woman speaking is the owner of Miss Universe. And homegirl is on a fucking mission. I think it's like incredible. I'm not just the story, but for a transgender woman to Miss Universe was on the way down. I was ready to fucking kill it with a sword. Like, I was going to ignore the headline. But when I found out that a trans woman is running it, that's some powerful, I can't explain it, man. I can't explain it. Look, I had given up on Miss Universe, but I love how a transgender woman is who's trying to revive that shit. What do I mean? It's powerful. Anyways, yeah, an incredible story. The notes will be in the link to the article will be in the show notes. You can read it for yourself. And yeah, man, I'm just I was just. Just taken away by the story. Like, I wish I don't. I'm not the articulate type. I think I said the word incredible way too often. But what makes her incredible is just the fact that she's a transgender tycoon. That's what I'm saying. Look, when I think of billionaires, I'm thinking of some white dude, and then maybe Jay-Z and a few black dudes who made money off the cocaine and shit like that. You know, and of course, you know, there's a lot of Asian billionaires, but. This story let me try to figure out what makes this story incredible. What I love about this whole the trans the conversation about trans women is, for me, it's how, look, I was already on a journey somewhere in my 40s or whatever, after a bad relationship. I remember reaching a point where I told myself, you know what? I don't think I understand what it means to be in a relationship. Then it changed. Then it went to, it led to, I don't think I understand what it means to be a woman. Like, my definition, the file with the header women that I have stored is wrong. So I set myself on a journey into understanding the opposite sex. Not understanding so I can figure out, you know, how to have sex with them more often, but understanding our shared humanity. I remember reaching a point during International Women's Day and realizing that, oh, wow, the reason I have difficulty not being an asshole the opposition of feminism is because I've been defining women, I've been judging women by those, sorry, I'm laughing, I've been defining women by, pretty much by, those who want to fuck me, those I want to have sex with. Like, I've defined women to, I put them all in a box as a thing to have sex with, as opposed to a human being. Like, I realized that I was working with that. So all this to say is I was already on a journey into understand women, what it means to be a woman, how my life would have changed if I would have been a woman. Now trans women come into the picture. And one thing that I notice about trans women is how they have a better understanding. I don't know how to explain it to you, but they have a better understanding of what it means to be a woman. Outside of the definition of patriarchy, as the human being, as you know what? Indigenous people are the tribe, the group who look at trans women as double spirit. They get it. There's something about using the term, is it two-spirited? Did I say double spirit or two-spirited? Yeah, it's two-spirited. Yes. The expression, like it's, I remember watching this movie, this TV, I can't remember what it's called, but this character used a line, he goes, we all know as women that a woman is not defined by what's between her legs. And I'm like, again, this was during my unenlightened days. I'm like, I don't get it. What you mean? Whatever. Anyway, so yeah, all this to say that I was already on a journey into redefining my own definition of womanhood, because the one that I had before was corrupted by patriarchy. There we go. When I say patriarchy, whatever. Okay, another discussion. Again, I forgot. B, short fucking podcast, man. All right, I'm just going to end this last segment, Transgender Tycoon, with a salute to the owner of Miss Universe. The other thing that makes her incredible as a human being is she's on a journey into inspiring people too. It's like, it's not just like Tony Robbins shit is like, I'm a billionaire, you can be a billionaire too. No, God made you like this. Continue on that path of being that person. This, oh my God, what's, okay, on the one video, I think I'll put it in the show notes, it goes, Transgender Tycoon, the first woman to own Miss Universe, hopes to inspire. I think that's what I found powerful about her story, because you're a fucking billionaire, fuck inspiring. Anyway. Great, a beautiful story. Link to the article in the show notes. Hope you read it and have your own takeaway, your own positive takeaway from it. All right, okay, you know what? Hey, you know what? This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. I nearly forgot the name of my podcast. Find me on Twitter. Username is bblizak or Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And to subscribe to the podcast, just use the RSS feed on the website or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Hey, seriously, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.